Greetings in Christ the Lord. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries, Chapter 8, or the fourth one. The Fellowship of the Mystery, Unity in Sufferings. Scriptures. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Ephesians 3, verses 8 to 15. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the seed of David, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer hardship unto bonds as a malefactor. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Faithful is the saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them in the sight of the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of them that hear. Give diligence to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. But shun profane babblings, for they will proceed further in ungodliness, and their word will eat as does the gangrene, in whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection of the is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Howbeit, the firm foundation of God standeth having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of the Lord depart from unrighteousness. 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 to 19, American Standard Version. When Jesus came to the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some they say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Matthew 18, verses 6 to 28. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For ye receive not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to usward. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to vanity, not of its own will, but by reason of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only so, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for our adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For in hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopeth for that which he seeth? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And in like manner the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he foreordained, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Romans 8, 14 to 30, the American Standard Version. End Scriptures. Two visions. First vision. I beheld upon the earth the sons and daughters of God, who were found faithful, and who were known to the mind of the Lord as those who would overcome all things. I saw them, each nailed, fastened securely upon wooden crosses. As they were impaled there upon each cross, they were in great peace, and they conversed one with another in the joy of the fellowship of sufferings. Because of the death they were dying, they often did not know that there was someone nearby who also suffered the pain of crucifixion. So as they died upon their crosses, they sometimes knew that others suffered, but they could not always see them or know that they were there. Regardless of this, they each spoke words from their crosses, which were words of life and fellowship in the sufferings of our Lord, which they were partaking of. As their words went forth, each one nearby would be confirmed in that suffering and would know that they were not alone, even though perhaps with their eyes they could not see the person next to them who also suffered the same. The Spirit of the Lord conveyed these words as a wind of His Spirit between them, as they obediently put down all that was flesh to the nails of their individual crosses. End first vision. Second vision. I beheld then the sons and daughters of God, who were full overcomers, walking together in the beauty of the creation, walking, as it were, in the overflowing land of Galilee, rejoicing in peace and comfort, for their tribulation was over, and they were entering a new place in the things of the Lord. As they walked, they went over but a small hill, a little hill. In the road, which over the crest shone with the bright brilliance of the kingdom of God. Walking forward, they, each one robed in simplicity and in kindness, were glorified in their bodies, which once were impaled with nails, but now glorified eternally with the glory of the Lord. End vision. End two visions. The most peculiar thing about the life of a person who desires all that the Lord has for them is the fact that the more they go on in the things of the Lord, the more they find themselves secluded, shut away from all others. It seems as the life lived out of a heart that loves the Lord intently is a life lived very much in seclusion, in the expanse of a borderless life that knows no boundary, except the one given to them by the Lord of being free in an intently restricted space. The fellowship of the mystery comes to them as a power of faith, an inner knowledge that the Lord is in control of their lives and that He is working all things after the counsel of His own will concerning them. The Lord jealously draws such a one unto Himself, separating that person from everyone around them. That person may perhaps only know the fellowship of a spouse or a good friend or neighbor, but they do not know massive numbers of people, nor gathering in a large place where men emulate those who would teach them. Allow me to repeat that. The mystery comes to them as a power of faith, an inner knowing that the Lord is in control of their lives and that He is working all things after the counsel of His own will concerning them. The Lord jealously draws such a one unto Himself, separating that person from everyone around them. That person may perhaps only know the fellowship of a spouse or good friend or neighbor, but they do not know the massive numbers of people nor gatherings in a large place where men emulate those who would teach them. During the time of this drawing, the overcomer thus drawn begins to suffer the loss of all things relating to their life and existence in this present world. They may gain much in the way of worldly wealth and power, may become successful in business or in industry, but in their hearts they are separate unto the Lord. The outward circumstance that they work in may belie the true nature of who they really are. As the Lord draws such a person unto Himself, the involvement of that person in the depths and the dealings of the Lord becomes very personal, very pointed. The Lord demands that the life of self be daily crucified, laid down, as it were, an offering unto the Lord, a burnt sacrifice, a drink offering, or an offering poured out upon the earth. All that begins to take place in the life of an overcomer as the Lord deals with them. But outwardly, they may look like any other person, or may be very much involved in the business, politics, and economy of this day. It is a working in the heart that I speak of. As the overcomer is thus held in this state, the years roll by, the dealings seem to never change. The intensity of trials never seems to wane, and more the overcomer is left with naked faith and nothing else. Becoming emptied of all that they are to this world and in this world, they find that they have nothing left to offer the Lord other than the very life they were born with. That is exactly what the Lord wanted in the first place, a vessel emptied, but chosen for his greater purpose. During this time of this individual dealing by the Lord, the person who is thus being dealt with may not even be aware of the changes taking place in their hearts. There is a simple gauge to measure this change, and that gauge is how much of the cross is still daily applied to one's life. If you find yourself at a place where there is nothing but the cross working day by day, and your life is held in a constraint, then that is a good place. A place to be envied, a place that only those with wisdom understand. Yet the trail of aloneness continues. Know this, you are not alone. There is all around you the candidates for the army of the Lord. They are few and far between, but they are there. They may be hidden by miles and borders, but still, nonetheless, they are there. You cannot see them or know of their existence when you look to the left or when you look to the right, but that does not mean that they are not there. They are there, and they are in the very same fellowship of suffering you are in. You are not alone in the workings of the personal cross. The Lord is doing this in all those who he has called unto the full measure of the stature of Christ, and that is that he is now completing the emptying out process. I'll read that again. The Lord is doing this in all those who he has called unto the full measure of the stature of Christ, and that is that he is now completing the emptying out process. Completing the emptying out process. We are right at the crux of the matter, at the end of self, at the end of this power of the crucified life, for the Lord is about to turn this all around. These are not idle words. I am prophesying the Lord is about to turn things around in the life of the overcomer. Note this first. There is but a small company, a little troop, an insignificant number of people who are part of the overcoming company who will be seen in the earth as the army of the Lord. These are not great in numbers, vast in knowledge and understanding, high up in esteem by the world and emulated as great saints. These that I speak of are the forgotten ones, the cast aside ones, the ones that simply did not fit into the systems of men. I am not speaking of their ability in the world to work and to provide for their homes. I am speaking of the fact that the Lord hand selects one from a city and two from a family and brings them first to Zion, to the kingdom of his anointing. Jeremiah 3:14. You may not have been aware that you were hand-selected, but you were, dear reader of this page. You were selected to be brought as the first ripe fruit upon the bough of the tree of life in the midst of his kingdom. And you are about to see this change, which is now beginning to take place in the earth, that change that will happen even through you. For the time of your life, you had gained some spiritual understanding. The Lord opened up slightly the pineal gland, which sits at the base of your brain, and he sovereignly opened it just enough to give you the light of his countenance, even the revelation of his will and of his kingdom. That little bit of understanding and discernment that comes into your natural thinking came because of the opening up of this area of your body, even that pineal gland within your very mind. As such, it was opened when you were born of the Spirit, not ever before. And as such, it was the avenue by which the Lord would speak to you and give you understanding into his deeper things. That, too, is about to change, for the Lord will come. When he does, your pineal gland will be first glorified, then the rest of your flesh. For at the very coming of Jesus in his glorified body, you will experience the change that was promised to us, even the inheritance unmeasured and eternal, that being your glorified body. We will discuss much on this during the study on the mystery of our change, but for now I wish to narrow it down to the fellowship of the mystery. Up until this time, you have often felt very much alone in your tribulations. The knowledge of others around you and being dealt with by the Lord the same way was not always known by you. Instead, you thought that you were very much alone, a lone vagabond in a land of iniquity, one who wondered if you were the only one discerning truth and verity in this present evil world. I prophesy to you, dear reader of this page, that the Lord is about to come in the power of the first resurrection, and you will be changed. You will be clothed upon with the light of his glory, and you will be transformed into a glorified saint, one filled with the immeasurable fullness of God. The Lord, when he comes, will change your body this way. Your natural body, pumping your natural blood, will first be changed in the pineal gland. That gland instantly will be fully opened forevermore, and you will then experience the change from one humanity to the other in the very cells of your body, in the very atoms themselves. Your very atomic structure will be made new in the body promised to you when Jesus was raised from the dead, having become the first fruits of them that slept. So then your heart will lose all the blood that has been pumped through it for the course of your life. When we study the mystery of iniquity and the mystery of the faith, we will see that our blood was corrupted by the fall, that we were conceived in sin, shapen in iniquity. Know this, that when he does come at the first resurrection, your blood, which was originally made by the Lord and found to be the carrier of personal iniquity, the blood which was not cleansed, will be cleansed, and it will change. That very blood in your very veins right now will change, and you will become the very blood of our Lord, the blood of an eternal life flow which will never cease. And you will experience this flow in a glorified body. So then, this blood will flow. The pineal gland will be completely open, and your cells will change. You will enter perfection, and death will not be found in you, nor any ailments you may currently experience. You will suddenly, in the time it takes to move one of your fingers or blink one of your eyes, experience this change. some of us will pass over and not taste death, for this change is imminent. The Lord is about to glorify his army. The world and Christendom will see this little small company of overcomers emerge on the world scene. They will be seen in the news and on cameras in the world, but only very briefly, for their coming forth in these new bodies will spell the end of the entire world system. Within a few heartbeats of time, the entire system that dictates the course of this world by the carnal wisdom of man and governments will end entirely, and mankind will have no other ruling power in the earth except for this little company of glorified saints. The entire world will then come to learn of the Christ and to be taught of him and to see him in his kingdom here upon this earth, and in time they will see his kingdom and throne throughout the cosmos itself. For the overcomer, you, the reader of this page, this will happen. The losses you incurred while you endured your life in this world at this time, and the painful trials and testings, the loss of finance, the loss of loved ones, all this will now come back into your power. You, in your glorified body, will restore the wealth of the Gentiles unto your family, the wealth you may have lost in your lifetime. And not just wealth, but the loss of dear family members, those you loved who left you and were gone as dry grass upon a windy field. You will go even to the place of their dust and raise them up to live with you upon this earth in the kingdom of God. I am prophesying this, even unto you who wait for the promise of his coming. Know it, for this is your portion. You will have power with God to raise up your loved ones so that they may abide with you in the Lord's Edenic world once again, where fear is not present and death is not known, where you will forevermore have uninterrupted fellowship with those you once knew as members of your family, but whom were lost to you in death. The restitution of all creation will be through this company of glorified ones, few in number, so that no man can say they did it, but all the glory will be given to the Lord who will do this, even though this little troop, even these who first endured their crosses, the blinders are coming off. You will behold the King come in his glory, and you will awake in his very likeness, even in this time we are presently living in. Believe it, for it is about to happen. To be continued, Kenneth B. Fisher.